The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday. Lovely day today. The weather is going to get worse as we head towards the weekend. Let me just confirm what I said about that 1960s parade of vehicles on Parliament Street in Ramsey. That's been postponed till later on this year. Were due to be about 30, possibly 40 cars there along Parliament Street, and obviously they are veteran cars, and to be sitting out in the rain for 2 or 3 hours wouldn't do them any good. And apart from that, would you want to be walking up and down in the rain? Well, we'll be doing it later on this year. So that 60s Saturday in Ramsey in Parliament Street has been postponed. I understand the Ian Thompson Band Beatles tribute session and 60s stuff will go ahead undercover in Murrock Park, and Chris Williams' 1960s disco is all just about sold out at the Freemasons Hall in Ramsey tomorrow night, and I'll be doing a lecture on Radio Caroline tonight at the Town Hall in Ramsey. Free entry if you want to pop along. Piracy in Manx Waters, we're calling it. It's a lecture I did at Arbury Church last year, all about the background to Radio Caroline North and where that sort of radio came from. Anyway, that's tonight. Chris Williams disco tomorrow night, and the Ian Thompson Band with the 60s music and Beatles tribute on Saturday. But the 60s Parliament Street get-together has been postponed till later on this year. The government is failing to address concerns regarding disabled access across the Isle of Man, according to a Manx wheelchair user. Paul Sullivan presented a notebook filled with specific issues he'd collected over not a couple of weeks, not a couple of months, not a couple of years, 2 decades. He presented the notebook of 2 decades worth of issues 3 years ago to the politicians, including a lack of curb drops at bus stops. He said not one of them has been solved since his meeting in May 2019.
Accessibility on the island is virtually non-existent. It simply does not exist. If I get on a bus, I have to know which stop I can or cannot get off at. Because if I get off at the wrong stop, I could be there for hours. Because if the bus drives off and I cannot get away from that bus stop, I've got to wait till the next bus comes along, get on that bus and get off at a stop that I can get off at, and then wheel the whole way back to wherever it was that I was wanting to go in the first place. So one little thing like a bus stop not being accessible can ruin my whole day.
I put Paul's concerns to Kerry Sharp, MLC, who is a member of the Department of Infrastructure.
It's not just the buses that are an issue, it's actually getting to the bus stop. It's getting on and off of pavement. It's all the street furniture that's often in the way. And I'm really aware that when you have a disability, sometimes it feels like the world is against you because the world is not designed to be accessible. I'm chair of the Bus, Van and Accessibility Group, so we've been looking into this.
You've got one of Paul's notebooks here with you. He sat down with government directly about 3 years ago and presented about 20 issues, and none of them have been resolved in his view. So what's sort of holding it up? Do you think we're going to actually see that change anytime soon?
I really hope so. I mean, we've got the Equality Act in place now. So you've got the law there. You've got statutory responsibility on the behalf of government to be more equal and fair. Why hasn't it happened in the past? Perhaps one reason is that we don't yet have enough people in Tynwald who have disabilities themselves. And I think we need to get more people who have disabilities involved at local commissioner level and also within Tynwald so that they can push for change. Maybe we need a bit more radical action, like you saw in London with the Transport for All campaign. You know, I don't think all of London's buses would have become accessible had it not been for that campaign. So I think, if nothing else, we need to be having a national conversation about accessibility. And I'd really like to see people talking about it and bringing it up.
I'd like to hear what you have to say on this subject about how unfriendly or perhaps uncaring you think the Isle of Man is towards people who have physical impairments, mental impairments, disabilities, visual impairments. Any thoughts on the matter and how far we've come and what? I mean, there are lots of curb drops around. There are lots of curbs with raised surfaces on them, far more than there used to be. But is it really 21st century? Do we handle disability on the Isle of Man in a 21st century way? And what do you think we can do about it? And you're right about, what do you think about Kerry Sharp, who's in LegCo, but she reckons just not enough people with disabilities who obviously perhaps care about people with disabilities in Tynwald, because how much has been done, really, specifically, in detail, how much has been done? It's disappointing, says Carol, to not have the new LED lights lit along the promenade during MGP. Just the odd downlighter lit up and none of the spikes were lit. Were the spikes lit? I mean, do you notice the spikes? They all looked amazing during Pride and they were a real talking point. Such a shame that no one made sure they were all lit for MGP visitors to show the investment that's been made since they last visited in 2019. Now they'll think that all the lights, all those lights, just none of them work. Perhaps government saving on electricity. The wrong week, perhaps. So, we talked at length about the promenade. Do you remember it? I can't believe it's not a building site anymore. And the lights and the festoon lights and the fact that I just wonder what our visitors thought of what the promenade now looks like. Obviously, it's shortened, if you like. Certainly the horse trams are. It's been narrowed and there's a lot less light on than there used to be. Any thoughts, get in touch. We're open line on 66 1368, text 166 177, and WhatsApp, same number. Email studio at magsradio.com. Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Hello, morning to you. Just three things. Sure, I just got an apology email saying they raised the prices without charging us by 4.8%, which is the RPI for the Isle of Man, and they're going to pay us back money and won't come into effect until October, but there are terms and conditions. The other thing, Manx Gas, I've had the bill and I'm waiting to a revised bill because, funny enough, they changed my meter to a metric meter, but I got charged by Imperial, and they didn't realise when I phoned up, they didn't realise I had a metric meter fitted, and they were looking into it, so I'm still waiting a week later to see what they're going to sort out because they changed the billing system. That was the big excuse. More importantly, the MLC that was on about disabled. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
The MLC, she didn't come up with any solutions. It was all talk.
And it's always the way, you know, obviously with government. But remember, she's an MLC. She's not an elected representative.
No.
She's there in the revision chamber, the scrutiny chamber as well. But obviously, Kerry Sharp has got the bit between her teeth where this is concerned. So you don't think it's enough for her just to raise it? She's got to come up with some proposals.
Well, yes. What they're there for? I'm not into MLCs. They shouldn't be there at all. But they should all be just elected. But by the public, but she didn't come up with any solutions. I hear what you're saying, and the old excuse was the MLCs used to be experienced people in various matters, but no, I'm not convinced by the... it's just words, I'm afraid to say. And talking about the prom, what are those stupid crossings we nearly get knocked down on? which are by, you know, Pelican things, but they're not real crossings.
Every one's a different one, isn't it? You drive along or you walk along and you're not quite sure. It's like the okie-cokie. You put your left leg in and left leg out.
What are they for? Decorative, you know. And there's a Pelican crossing, you know. I'm talking about the one at Reed, just at Regent Street. Pelican crossing's to your right. This walk out into the road is on your left. Yes, right.
Well, it's certainly slowed the prom down, hasn't it?
It does do, yeah. So just wait till the trams come all the way down to the sea terminal.
I mean, do you really think that's ever going to happen? I was looking at that strip of wasteland where the trams are supposed to be going and looking how close some of the cars and the vehicles were next to where the trams should be. Do you really think, Ken, the trams are ever going to come back?
No, I don't think they will do. Not down to there.
Okay, all right. Then. Thanks for calling today. Thanks. And here's David with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, mate. Listening to Kerry Sharp there for the second time and saying, and Andy, well, you were saying because he's an MLC, that should be even better, being an MLC. I don't know what other work she's tasked to do within government, but the Discrimination Act's been in a long while now, and each government department should be looking to how to make it better for people to access government buildings on the DOI should be doing it on the highways as a matter of course. And using the excuse, she was trying to use the excuse that we put furniture here and crossings here. But we should be doing that when we design them. It shouldn't be even a thought now. You design everything for accessibility. And go on.
And I was just going to say, because, I mean, I'm just thinking particularly of Douglas and the lay of the land. You know, there's a massive hill in Douglas. You know, we got Victoria Street, then to Prospect Hill and what have
Browns
you.
Hill, yep.
Yeah, so there's a big hill. You just wonder whether it's time for bold steps. If the government's going to be honest about facilitating life for people with disabilities, I mean, surely somebody should come up with a bold idea to do something. I'm not saying they should put escalators where that that old 39 steps is between the old Lloyds Bank, but something, surely.
Well, yes, and it's down to planners as well. There should be, as a matter of course, when buildings are old, new buildings are coming along, or retrofitting them. And I just wonder, and it brings me back to the old nurses' home there, because there was a lift in the centre of the place there. How is that going to be disabled friendly when there's no parking there? I think there's, I was told, I think there's six spaces, and I'm just wondering whether they'll be for reserved for people with a disability on that. But I just think I couldn't believe what she was trying to say to us, and I'm sure that Eric up the north there is absolutely furious. Because I know the guy, I'm sure I know the guy that done that report on it, and it's finding it difficult. What we're talking about here is adapting some bus stops. And I know the department at one time said it cost them 10 grand. Well, if it cost them 10 grand, it's going to cost them more next year. Let's do a dozen and get them finished.
Oh, I see. As you say, maybe do five this year, five next year, and then within 5 years, you've suddenly done 25.
Yeah. It's called a plan. It's called succession planning is for staff, and putting a plan together to make sure our island is disabled friendly, because we wouldn't want the label to say if you have a disability you come to the Isle of Man and we just leave you.
And particularly, you know, we've talked about so many times, it's the differences that make us different. And just imagine if we did things and suddenly anybody with a disability came to the Isle of Man and it was brilliant. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And they'd go back and say, you know, that Isle of Man, they really know what they're doing and they're really forward-looking.
Yeah. And the only thing that's going to be done, she was saying, is that we'll all have to demonstrate and go down with placards. Those days are gone now. I think when people, organisations, and I would hope Eric comes on, because I remember him saying he wanted to go on one of the think tanks for the disability group, I can't remember what it was called there, And he was virtually saying he was blackballed. He wasn't even considered for an interview. And I remember donkeys years ago, there was a gentleman that was in a wheelchair, and he used to offer his services to, at that time, was to do with the local authorities for adaptations. And he used to suggest things like, if you did this, if you did that. Because when we're walking about and we're able-bodied, we don't know the slightest little thing, like an inch or an inch and a half, is difficult in a wheelchair.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, David.
See you, boy.
Cheers now. 22 minutes past 12. Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Randy. Just listen to that chap who was on first about his interjection about the horse trams, and you said you think they'll ever get to the end of the promenade. Well, if the decision is made within government not to put them all the way down through, then there should be a public inquiry, and I say a public inquiry because that money was allocated within the budget, and they took £1 million out of that budget to spend somewhere else, the DOI, and there was never any satisfactory explanation. There's all sorts of weak excuses, and we're going to look into it, this, that, and the other. Well, these things never get done, and if they that was passed by Timwald, it'll be in Hansard, and it's a legal document, and it's a legal obligation. And they have taken the money to spend elsewhere without any answer to the public who are providing the funds. Now, if somebody walked into your house, as I said before, and took a load of money, apart from getting the police involved, you'd want to know where it went and who took it. So that is the legal obligation that the government have to continue that horse trams, or the horse trams, from Broadway through to the sea terminal where it was in the plans. And they can't say, well, we've had a change of mind and we think it's dangerous, that and the other. They made the plans, and if that was a private enterprise, they would be taken to task. And I see no reason whatsoever that the government, and this is the present government and the last government, because we had that many heads of department there for the DOI, I thought they would run the raffle. But each one of them had a different excuse. And when the money went missing, and it has gone missing because there's been no explanation, why and where has it gone? And that should be their question. But one of the other things I was just saying to Howard, I said to my wife last night, I had to go into town this morning, and I hear all this about use public transport, use this, use that, use a bike. Well, I've got a couple of bikes, but I'm too old for cycling into town. I said, I'll go on the bus. So I looked up the bus timetable, and I haven't used one for years, and I got my freebie pass, I got my wrinkly pass. But the Annika buses are every hour. They used to be 20 minutes, then they went to half an hour, but now they're every hour. So that meant that I was going into town for one item, and I actually said sod it, and I took the car. And I went into Chester Street car park, and I was less than an hour down, job done, and back home. I was listening to your program when it came on at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock. But it would have taken me several hours if I'd have been using the buses. And that is a complete waste of time and does not encourage people to use public transport.
Well, you would think that public transport exists to... It's for the passenger. I mean, that's what it's about. The clue's in the title. It's public transport.
Mm-hmm.
And it has got to be timely and regular for people to use. It's got to be almost a no-brainer for somebody to say, I'll get the bus. It's easy, it's quick, it's cheap. It's always going to be there.
My train of thought was that last night. And I know it used to be 20 minutes, and then several years ago it was moved to half hour. But I looked this morning, and it's every hour. Well, that's farcical. You know, if they want to encourage people, particularly in Douglas and round town, or they use the outer towns where there's people moving around the villages or around the areas, use a smaller bus, but they've got these other ones running around now. They've got over, I think it's 170 buses. I don't know how many drivers they got, but an hourly service for a 3 mile trip, that's farcical. And whoever's designed that timetable should be heaved out. But I just took the card and said, to hell with it. And as I say, it certainly won't encourage me to take public transport in the future.
Okay.
Which, as I say, defeats the object of having a bus service.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Good Bye to now. Talk to you. I want to go. Oh, Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. You're talking about pavements and everything where they put in drop curbs and raised bus stops. Last year, the highways were doing the bus stop, the pavements, I should say, near the Grove Museum. Now, they didn't put any drop curbs in, and I rang the man in line, and a couple of days later, they put the drop curbs in because it was still working there, but they hadn't even thought of doing it. Now, this year, a month ago, they've just finished redoing the Jerby Road from junction with Bowron Road out past Clifton Park. Now, they put a raised bus stop in on that pavement, but when you get to Clifton Park, there's nothing. No way you're getting off the pavement. You've got a six-inch curb either side, and a brand-new road, brand-new pavement, and they haven't put any drop curbs in. How can they do that?
Well, somebody's responsible for that, Eric. Somebody made that decision.
Yeah, well, I sent the photographs and a note to Chris Thomas, as a minister. He asked me to send it to the DOI on their complaints form. I've done that, and I haven't heard a word since. But who made that decision? Who has done that? Surely somewhere along the lines, it should have said, when you get to Clifton Park, you've got to put drop curbs in to get off the pavement.
Well, there's obviously a lack of joined-up thinking. Obviously, what do they call it? Silo thinking. You know, somebody thinks it's not their responsibility, passed on to somebody else who thinks the person before them had done it, so they don't think it. So at some point, the thinking's got to get joined up. Eric, I just want to ask you something. Kerry Sharp talked about protest, and obviously that's something you know quite a lot about. Do you think protest works?
Well, put it this way, I'm not on the bus yet, after 3 years. I think Kerry Sharp has got a bit of a cheek to say what she's saying. She's in charge of that committee. This went through Tynwald, where Chris Thomas got a motion put through that they must follow the rules are used in England, so they decided to set up a committee, and I believe the committee has met. I don't know, because I applied to go on the committee and didn't even get an interview. You know, three years research and don't even get an interview to go on that committee.
So what's the situation regarding disability scooters on public transport on the Isle of Man?
Well, they're still not on. Even though I've been away a couple of times this year, I've been in Chester and I was in Darlington, and I could use the buses there. Exactly the same buses that are going around here. You know, Kerry Sharp wants to get a finger out and do something about that. They've had nearly 18 months and haven't done a thing about it. The committee was set up to find ways of getting mobility scooters onto buses and wheelchairs, whichever way you want to look at it. You know, and as far as I can see, they haven't done anything. Absolutely nothing. I'm sick and tired of it. I've given up. You know, I'll just ignore it all now. There's no point in carrying on, because I thought it might have changed when Chris Thomas became minister. But other than one phone call just after he did, I haven't heard from Chris Thomas. And he was supporting me. He was the one asking the questions in Tynwald. Now he's in the position to do something about it, and nothing's been done.
Well, I can assure you one thing, Eric. We'll certainly keep our eye on it.
Yeah, well, I will, but they've said that I didn't get on the committee, but they'd like me and others to take part in different things they do throughout the year. Well, they can sod off. You know, if you're not good enough to go on the committee and you know, put your knowledge forward there, why would I go and say, I've just give up? They can do what they want.
All right. Eric, thanks for being with us today. Call any time, okay?
Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right, 12:30, and Diane's with us now. Hello, Diane.
Yes, hello. Hello. The thing I want to talk about is Tramode. Tramode Road, where the cricket field is and the football field. Well, it's about this concept plan proposed thing of doing a cycle path and a footpath. Where not on the riverside, on the side where the hedges,
yes,
you know, where the football field and the cricket place is. And I just want to make people more aware of what actually could happen there, because this is infrastructure, I believe. And what's going to be taken from there if this concept plan happens is all of the hedge, which is in front of the football, all of that will be going, and several mature trees. And it's such a beautiful area there. I mean, I walk there regularly, and it's so beautiful to just, you know, destroy all of that. It's not right.
When's it due to happen?
Well, I don't know. Nothing's gone through yet. I just want to make people aware of what could happen.
Are you against this, Diane?
Pardon?
Are you against this?
Yes, I am. Yes, purely because it is a beautiful area, and we're on about, government's on about the environment and the carbon footprint. Well, you know, that area's been helping reducing the carbon footprint. You know, and just to just take all that away, it's just not right.
I mean, that's quite a congested road anyway.
It
morning
is.
Morning and evening.
It does need a bit of, you know, sort of doing something. The corners are very sharp there on a couple of places. Well, surely they could be tapered a little bit. And, you know, rather than just... get rid of the hedge, get rid of trees. It just seems wrong to me.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling today, Diane.
I just want to make people more aware, because I don't think enough people know.
Okay, well, they do
happen,
now.
So
you've told everybody, Diane. Okay.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
All right, 27 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Same Manx government, if they have to get off their behinds to do something, they won't. If it's going to cost money, they won't spend it. They're happy to take money in taxes. They seem to think it's their money. I'm a bit embarrassed by this. You need to speculate to accumulate. Surely there was that saying that was it, freedom to flourish, says that correspondent. 352, the Prom Tramway should be a light tram service in the future, and of course it must connect to the visitors coming off the boats at the sea terminal by light tram. Do you mean a modern tram service? Would that happen? But I see, would you get a modern tram where at the back of all the parking on... Lock Promenade. I just wonder what's going to happen with that there. Thank you, John, anyway, for that point, that the tram must connect to people coming off the sea terminal. Here's a message in that just says, what was it talking about? Ah, this is it. It was Simon who said, surely the Isle of Man has got one of the best examples in people overcoming disability in Howard Simcox. Of course, the Advocate Simcox, founded by Howard Simcox, who was able-bodied, went to serve with the Manx Regiment and was blinded in the Second World War in 1944 at the Battle of Monte Cassino. Not only did he become an advocate and was admitted to the Manx Bar, he became an MHK, became an MLC. And surely, says Simon, if we're going to make the Isle of Man disability-friendly, we've got a fantastic role model in Howard Simcox, somebody who rose above disability and made the most of it. Surely we should do something about this. Lots of comment coming in, also lots of comment about what you think politicians should do regarding disability access, and also the importance of demonstrating direct action. Do you think there should be direct action to get stuff done? Well, we've seen direct action. We've seen lots of demonstrations over the past few years. I just wonder whether you think that's the way to get things done, or the ballot box. By the way, the next general election is in 2026. Are you counting down?
When it comes to your home, it's time to say out with the ordinary. Bye-bye boring. So at Lifestyle Furniture, we're all about new style. Pop into our showroom to explore our brand new stylish and eclectic collections. From beautiful beds and sumptuous sofas to dazzling dining and living furniture and more.
with free delivery and 0% finance subject to status. Lifestyle Furniture. It's new style. It's wow style. It's lifestyle. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills.
Red and yellow and pink or blue?
Thinking of a rainbow?
No, choosing colours for our windows and doors at Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, who'd have thought we'd have so much choice?
We do at Manx Glass and Glazing. When it comes to windows and doors, they offer a great choice of styles, materials and fabulous contemporary colours.
Improve and brighten up your home. Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Or get inspired when you see the range at manxglass.com.
When you save a little money, it means a lot these days.
If you're looking for bathrooms and tiles, you'll always find something new in store at Pacesetter. For surprisingly affordable prices and excellent choice, search online for Pacesetter Douglas. Or better still, visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom on Harris Terrace and see the new styles in store.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
FC Isle of Man's new season is now well underway, and after a spell on the road, the team is back on Manx soil this weekend. The Ravens face Barnoldswick Town at the Bowl this Saturday and will be looking to get more valuable points on the board in the early stages of the new NWCFL Premier Division campaign. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Barnoldswick Town, kicking off at 6pm on Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our AM 1368 and digital platforms.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 22 minutes before one on the open line, Man in Line today. Jan's on. Hi, Jan.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy.
What's on your mind?
Right, well, it was the other day, lovely gentleman that you are, you were talking about the energy audit and if anybody had actually been through the process and how it worked.
And have you?
Yes, my husband and I applied for it at the end of May. I mean, I've got to be truthful, I'm always truthful, but it was so easy peasy, and I've got to give the government 100 out of 100%. It was very efficient. The form is easy to fill in. They keep you in the loop all the time by emails. A lady came round last Friday to do an audit on the house with a young gentle school leaver. He did the donkey work going in the loft and what have you. The only thing is, Andy, the lady who came round, I think she's got an economic or engineering certificate, but anyway, the lady or gentleman that comes round, they don't say, oh, you'd benefit from double glazing or you'd benefit from loft insulation. She said nothing, very cautious. What the lady or the gentleman does, they report back to the government, the energy ladies and gentlemen who deal with it, and then they send a full audit report to you by email to say you can get this, you can get that, and then you go on from there. But 100%, Andy, I would definitely say to people, go for it.
And did they drop any hints, Jan, about, you know, what you might be short of, insulation or double glazing or draft excluders?
Yeah, as you can probably guess, I'm a lady who opens my mouth quite a bit, so my husband's very quiet. But I asked a few things, and she did come up with a few things. I mean, we've had thermostats fitted and things like that, and our double glazing. I mean, we live in Majestic, Andy. We're on the cliff, so we get battered and what have you, and we need it highly insulated. So she gave a couple of hints, but very, very cautious. I mean, as I say, to be fair to the lady, she's employed by the government. I think she'll be paid by the government, whoever comes round. So they're going to be very cautious what they say.
And when did you apply? When did you apply for this?
I think it was about the 26th of May. Well, I know exactly, the 26th of May this year.
And they came round when?
Last Friday.
Okay.
So it's not too bad, Andy, really, you know, in these times when things are getting back to normal. And as I say, She didn't say give too much away. We haven't heard anything, but when the lady came round and she said that what day is convenient for you, what time is convenient for you. So they look after you. And if you're getting, to my mind, I mean, us, we know we've got insulation, but we need more. But even if you're getting 75% for insulation, it's under 1,000, if you pay under £1,000. It's a lot of money, Andy.
Tell me, are you electric or gas heat?
We are oil and log burner, wood burner.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, yeah, well, I don't know how much you pay for your oil. Oil's gone up in price, though, hasn't it?
Oh, horrendous, Andy. The last one, the oil normally lasts us about 9 months because our garage is chock-a-block with wood because we've had a wood burner since 2008, and they are very economical. They're quite a bit of hard work for my husband, but they are wonderful. They are. But our oil bill, we got oil probably about a month ago. Last time we got it, which would be, say, last October, it was £407, I think it was. This time it was just under £900.
Heavens above.
And the log's the same, Andy. They've gone up mega, mega. I mean, it's scary. It really is. I mean, there's only my husband and I. We've no children, grandchildren, anything. But I feel horrendously so for people. And we're both pensioners.
So are you going to do it the old-fashioned way? Are you going to put a jumper, an extra jumper on in the winter?
I love walking, Andy. So get wrapped up and go walking around the block and the blood pumps around you. And then you come back to the wood burner and snuggle down.
All right. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Andy. Enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
All right. Good to hear from you. Look at that time, 17 minutes before one, if you want to get in touch. And by the way, that was all about the Green Living Grant and the fact that you can apply for one of these audits, an energy audit for your home. In fact, the department's looking for qualified individuals and businesses to undertake these home energy audits on behalf of the Green Living Grant scheme. If you think this may be you, just go to their website, iomdfenterprise.im. Just go to the general government one. I think you'll get clicked through to it. It's the Green Living Grant scheme, whereby you apply for a Manx home energy audit. And they pitch up at your house and tell you basically, well, they obviously don't because they don't say anything there and then. They just report back the stats and somebody will get in touch and tell you what you can get. Financial support of 75% is available for recommended works of less than £1,000. 50% for recommended works will have value over £1,000. So however, three quarters paid for out of public funds or a half paid out. The scheme's administered by the Department for Enterprise and it's part of the government's commitment to reach net zero in 2050. It's just that the statistics of the number of grant applications approved aren't terribly impressive. As of last Friday, it's, 18 grant applications approved. Out of 152 grant applications received, out of 1,581 Manx energy audits completed, out of 1,992 people who have applied for it. And they've only given the best part of £30,000 out. But the day is young, who knows? And if you've got a good news story to report about the home energy audits, then tell us about it. A message in just said, the government has put cyclists before disabled people, in my opinion, says 786. This is the story about what's going to happen. And the facilities for disabled people, on it, particularly around buses and bus stops, what's going to happen? Your message in that just says, well, this is Jeff on 154 said, Andy, I understand the importance of access for the disabled, particularly on public transport. But people highlight many issues, roads, cost of living, healthcare, the boats, the airport, the list goes on. So the question is, can the Isle of Man afford all these projects? if they can't, I wish they'd prioritise the projects and actually start one and finish it and then move on to the next one. Just my thoughts, and they're very welcome, Jeff. Thanks for that. Newly elected MHKs some soon become the same old, says Pete. Well, Kerry Sharp's not an MHK. She's an MLC. Why are the disabled parking spaces opposite the station at Port Erin blocked by street furniture? I can't open my driver's door because there's a large box on the pavement, says John. Thank you for that message, John. A lady called also, just dropped us a message in to say they've removed the hospital route from buses coming from the south, she says, in the last week. They've removed routes which go that way, meaning you have to go into Douglas and come out again. Are they coming back? I just wonder whether you've got experience of that. Is that true? They've taken away the hospital route from the south in that now you have to go into Douglas and go back out to Noble's Hospital. Why not save money by not sending two people to go round the houses? Green issues. Just knock insulation down to 5% VAT, says Julie. It's easy. If you cut the price, people will go and get it. They keep saying that everybody needs to be insulated, so put VAT down to 5% on insulation and the people will come. Jane dropped a note into Man in Line on 123 and said the departments and civil servants, I think, are out of control. Progressing pet projects that don't have the support of the public, the MHKs, haven't bothered to find out the powers that they have to control the officers. MHK, says Jen, I think just do and say what they're told. Added to that, the civil servants are unaccountable. So perhaps the time the ones who asked to leave were taken to task. The government is weak, I think, says Jen, getting weaker as the civil service gets more and more powerful. I actually worry for the future, says Jane. Well, it is worth noting that since the new regime of Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, there has been rather a clear out of senior civil servants who've retired and taken early retirement in the past few months. So something somewhere is happening. Tomorrow, Teresa Cope, Chief Exec of Manx Care, and the Chair of Manx Care, Andrew Foster, will be on. Now, it'll be a busy show tomorrow, so if you want to get a question in beforehand, we've got several questions already in. Email maninline@manxradio.com. That's our out-of-hours email address. During the show, it's studio@manxradio.com. But out-of-hours, maninline@manxradio.com, or you can call the answer phone on 682-631 if you want to put a question. Now, health and social care. So, obviously, if you've got an experience, just something you want to share, the boss and the chair are going to be in from Manx Care. It's little over a year. Is it 18 months since DHSC was split? DHSC responsible for the politics, if you like, and the admin. Manx Care for the care. Health and social care. Right place, right time. Get the work done. So let's see what's happening tomorrow. It's all about Manx Care tomorrow on Man in Line.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
If it's car or bike speed you need, head to Jerby Drag Event this weekend for the Ultimate Street Bike Championship, Old School Stockers and Pro Stock Bikes. It has to be Jerby Drag Racing this Saturday and Sunday.
No setup hassles, no worries about data usage. Discover home Wi-Fi that just works with Manx Telecom's new best ever fibre broadband plans. You'll get a new router and Wi-Fi extender to boost coverage, expert installation, plus ongoing remote support to diagnose and fix any problems, and unlimited data. Move to a faster future with Manx Telecom fibre broadband. Visit manxtelecom.com/fibre now to get started.
Whatever your style, you'll find something stunning to enhance your home at Miller Chaps of Ramsey. From classic elegance to new trends in home design, Miller Chaps have two fabulous floors packed with fantastic new furniture, furnishings and homeware. Whether you're looking for fabrics and wallpapers, new flooring, a comfy sofa, or unique artwork to complete your look, you'll find it at Millichap's, along with much more from their vast, inspirational range. Find your style in store today at Millichap's of Ramsey.
So, you think you know your TV theme tunes? Prove it, and you could win a £200 voucher to spend at 1886 Bar and Grill with Manx Radio and Tell Skips. This Saturday and Sunday, listen out for the clues on air and on Manx Radio's Facebook page. If you can guess the famous TV theme, text its name and your name to 166177 when you hear the cue to call, and you'll be in the draw to win. And remember, if you need a skip, just search Tells Limited or call 677 137. It's another winning weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
Fast am I, it's 8 minutes before one on Manx Radio. So tomorrow it's Manx Care with Teresa Cope and Andrew Foster. And Helen said, I've been hearing for 4 decades about how things on the Isle of Man would change for the disabled. No real progress. The right to access everything that non-disabled people take for granted isn't being enforced. I think we should fine those people who obstruct pavements. I challenge the politicians to use a wheelchair for a week while going around their normal lives and just see what would happen then. Thank you for Helen for that. We appreciate it. With gas prices surging across Europe, says Texter 520, the EU is now investigating an EU-wide gas price cap to control inflation. France, the host country for the recent EU Energy Summit, implemented a national cap on gas prices starting this October and to protect French businesses and citizens. What's the Manx government and our regulator doing to control IEG rates, the International Energy Group, that is, the people who own Manx gas, to remove their right to guaranteed profit, says that correspondent. The disabled parking spaces in Chester Street are quite dangerous. I took an elderly wheelchair-dependent relative for her COVID jab. The parking spaces are on the right-hand side of a one-way street. Trying to get her out of the car into her wheelchair with traffic going past was very difficult. Then we found it impossible to access the pavement. I had to push her along the road to a crossing to get on the pavement. It's not ideal. Here's a message in just to say we don't need more disabled in government. The island's a disgrace. The pavements aren't suitable for wheelchair users. Some of the shops haven't even got access. The curbs are too high in some places. So if you're able to wheel yourself, you can't go down these, says Kay. And a message in also regarding the services to the hospital. Hospital Route 1H has gone from the Prom and Onken 2, says Jack. The through service to Nobles from the south was withdrawn in the emergency timetable that was introduced in June, says David. So that's the score with that. I just wonder when it's going to, will it ever appear? I had an energy survey done earlier this year. To my mind, it's a bit of a scam. My 70s window needs all the windows and the doors replacing. They're old and they leak, but because they're UPVC, they're automatically not considered for a grant. Also, the study didn't capture the right amount of doors and windows. So the government won't provide a grant for this. The only benefit I can use is loft insulation. So why not save the government money, perhaps us money? Why don't they just provide free loft insulation to anybody who wants it? It'll save the cost of the survey and probably save us all money in the long run. In regard to that lot, Max, this is, says Andy, in regard to the long and sorry list of jobs and causes that require government funding, bicycles and their aficionados should definitely come last. Sure, there are far more important issues to be addressed than active travel. Thank you for that message, and also thank you for your correspondence today. Just a quick word, I got a note in from, it was, let me see, Michelle, who just said, Andy, it's been very quiet about the cost of the Dr. Rosalind Ranson Tribunal. It seems to go on and on and on and it's obvious who's going to be paying. Michelle said this is going to cost millions and millions of pounds. The lawyers they're using don't come cheap. So at the end of all this, will we know exactly how much has been spent on this employment tribunal and all the appeals? Well, I would imagine the cost will come out. And a message in from Ronnie just says, when does the booster program start? Starts on the 5th of September. The autumn booster, COVID booster vaccine campaign starts, targeting the over 50s along with several potentially vulnerable groups. Priority one category starts on the 5th of September. That's it for Man in Line today. Back tomorrow with Manx Care. Thanks to Howie Kane producing today on Man in Line.
WINT.